Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
As you know, as pastors, your people are your peeps. And so when your peeps are not here, you're sad because you bring a supply. And so I think, you know, the enemy always tries to make you feel like you're a nobody, right? But you are somebody. You're a somebody in your church, even in your home, in your workplace, everywhere that you go, you are a somebody. You're working for Jesus. And so I don't know if you've been, if you're a news watcher, you may say, well, you know, I do away with that because I just don't want to even, I get you because I don't like it. Every time I watch the news, I feel like I get mad. And so when I watch the news, I'm like, Lord, what's going on in this world, especially in our country? I don't know if you saw a march that happened on Saturday. But there's a march that took place in your country against the word of God, against Israel, against everything that God stands for. So you could say, "Woo, what is going on? The devil's just getting really nervous." And so everything that you're seeing is exactly what God told you was coming. You may not have known all the details, but there are those in the Christian, you know, arena, ministers, well-known ministers that know the details because that's what they study. And so I encourage you, if you don't know who that is, ask us and we will direct you because we know who they are and they guide you all along. And so there really is no need for you to be unaware. But I know that the devil's trying to keep people blinded, keep them unaware of what's going on. And so Jesus is coming soon, oh so soon. Every time something comes up in the world, it's like, oh, Jesus is coming. He's coming. Oh, he's right at the door and he's coming. And so it causes something in my heart to look at it, to say, you know, even last night, I was like, what are we doing? What if Jesus comes during the night? What if he comes in the morning and we don't even go to church? Do you think like that? What if he comes right now? What if he comes like in a few hours? What would I do in the next few hours then? What if I knew that Jesus was coming in a week? What if it was next Sunday? He's coming. What if you knew the hour and the time? Now, the Bible says you don't, but you know the season. So we're in the season. Oh, we're in the season. And so Pastor Tony says every time that he gets up here, he said, you may get tired of hearing it, but I'm going to tell you, Jesus is coming soon. And so it's time to get ready. And so I feel like a lot of the church is still kind of sitting. Not our church, just the church universal. And so the Bible says when you see these things happening, to look up, your redemption's drawing nigh. And he told us, don't fear. Even though, why would he have to tell us not to fear? Well, I think it's because we would greatly want to fear. I mean, you hear things on the news. Now, I heard somebody, it is a prophet that is known to be true. And so what he says is by the word and it happens. And so I just heard this probably like a month ago, but he said something, well, actually a few months ago, they said something's coming in October. They said it, something's coming, and you had no idea what it was, but you just were praying. And then you see that the war happened. Something did come. And you may say, well, it really don't affect me. Oh, but it does. It greatly affects you. Greatly. And so if you think it's just over there, far away, I just plead with you to know what's going on in your own country. And if you'll find out what's going on in your own country, this is really not my message, but you'll find out what's going on in your own country, it'll cause you to be alert. Immigrants coming by the thousands of immigrants from all over coming, just an open border. That ought to cause alertness in you. And you ought to be praying against that. Because that could be you. And so it gets real serious if you're nonchalant, if you're a person that's just nonchalant. Like, oh, whatever. Well, I just plead with you to not be nonchalant. I don't want you to be fearful, but I just want you to be alert. The Bible says you have authority over the enemy. So it can look real big and dark. You have authority over the enemy. So he's trying to make it look like he's going to take everybody out. But he's not. He's not. Even on, there's a song that I've been singing all this morning. Do tunes just kind of go along with you all the time? No, I don't sing all the time like some of these people, but I'm humming all the time. Well, that's just the joy of the Lord in your heart. It says in Psalms that it comes up out of you. It ought to be. And so there's a song that says, on my best day, I'm a child of God. On my worst day, I'm still a child of God. Paul said, for me to die is gain. I've gained something because I'm in heaven now. And everybody I know that's gone to heaven does not want to come back. They get mad when they have to come back. So that ought to tell us, ooh, it is really going to get really good for us when we go out of here, when Jesus comes to get us. Oh, what a day. And I know if you're a kid or a teenager even, sometimes that can seem like, I don't know about that. I'm kind of nervous because there's all these unanswered questions, even as an adult. But if you just lay them aside and you know how good God is, if you get into his word, there's something about his word that brings peace to your heart, peace to your mind, that it's going to be okay. I live for Jesus, and he's going to come back for me. And so, the Bible says you will not be here in the tribulation or when it's getting really, 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 really bad. He's going to come get you. So that's good news. And so, as children of God, we just keep our heads up, but we make our voice known. And so the devil's trying to get your voice to stop. He's going to try and get you mad at this one, mad at that one, get you mad at a pastor, get you mad at the word, get you mad at God because it's not working for you. That's, in this hour, it's just rampant. Well, be aware of that. Stay away from that. And we're going to look at some scriptures that'll help with that. But you want to stay over on this side. And just stay clear-minded. Just stay hooked in with him. Amen? And so we're going to get started finally. That was a really long introduction. Let's pray real quick because I've got some scriptures and I really believe the word is working on my behalf this morning. And God's going to speak to your heart. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that you'd open the eyes of our understanding to see and to know the hope to which we have been called. Father, I thank you that our voice is being made known more. And even today, that we will take your word serious fervently today, and we'll walk away here knowing who we are and what we're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. And so when you look at all these things happening, you look at the body of Christ, and it almost seems like some people just are busy about doing other things, just distracted. All through the history of church, we have seen that. And so even when you come to church, it can become just something religious that we do, or it's just something that we do every Sunday. Going to church. Well, it can become just something you do. While I'm so happy that there are people that will not miss church. There's something to be said about that. Because, you know, in your life, there's disciplines in life, right? When you go to get a job, you can't get a job if you just sit on your couch watching TV all day, right? I still think you can't get a job that way. I'm pretty sure. I know times have changed. But you have to get up. You have to be disciplined enough to get up off the couch, get yourself ready, take a shower, smell good, look good, teeth brushed. Those are disciplines of every day. And you have to go to a place of employment, or you have to go online. You have to search out who wants to hire someone. And you're looking at what you want to do, right? What works with you. And so they call from you filling out an application. So then you get the call. Well, if you get the call, can you just sit at home for another week? No. They want to know when you want to come in. So you got to be disciplined to get a job. You have to go in, push through the nervousness. And you have to go and have an interview. You have to get ready for that interview. Hopefully you get ready for it. Because you want to shine. Because you want a job. I know there's people that don't want a job. And they probably go and make sure that it doesn't go well. You know, which is really weird to me. But and so hopefully and thankfully, if you've prayed and done your due diligence, if you've been diligent, you get the job. Amen. It's probably the best job you've ever had. My daughter is 17 now. Ooh, she was used to be like that. But she's just recently, this past summer, went through all that, all these new seasons, you know, when you're a teenager. And she was really nervous, I could tell, a little bit nervous. And she must have shined because they hired her on just right then. They knew, didn't take long. And she got the best pay, I think, that anybody's ever seen. It's like, how on earth? Like, what? It's the favor of God. And as parents, your children will reap the benefit of your faithfulness. So you're faithful to come to church. You're faithful to God, to honor His word. When He tells you to do something, you honor who He's brought in your life. Just living a life for God. Your children reap the benefits of that. Like, I never thought of that. Yep. And so when she went and had such favor, and all along, God connected her with her manager. And it was just really neat when she'd come home and tell me the conversation with her. I'm like, that's just cool, God. That's just really cool that you put her in there at the right time. And so she stepped back a little bit because, you know, she's doing a dual enrollment. So she's doing a college class plus normal classes. And so it's kind of a lot. And so she stepped back a little bit. But they said, hey, no problem at all. We're not going to fire you, even though it's going to look like that. But you can come back like on holidays if you want. And then next summer you can come back and work for us. How great is that? With the same pay without a pay deduction. Woo! That's the favor of God upon your life. And so when you're faithful, your faithfulness extends from generation to generation to generation. My children, they're getting the benefits of my faithfulness, of their grandparents' faithfulness, a grandmother sitting behind because of her faithfulness, because of her prayers, because she was diligent when it was hard. There's something about pushing through the opposition that the devil brings you. And it's generations that reap from your faithfulness, even when you're gone. My mom is gone now. She's in heaven living it up. I say living it up because on earth she lived it up for when she was young. But then when she got divorced, is another world for her and for us. And it wasn't the greatest. But she was always faithful to God. And when she went home, I was reminiscing about her life and just thinking, God, it just makes me sad because she could have had a much better life if she would have just moved on with you. But she stayed here. And I was really just down and out about it. Like, man, it was just a terrible life. And she was miserable. And, you know, half the time she made us miserable. And, just talking to God. And I knew I heard the Lord say, oh, no, she fulfilled the call I had on her life. I was like, she did? He said, yeah, her call was to raise 3 girls in the things of God. And she was very diligent to do that. I thought, I was bawling. God, I will never say that again, but my mom honored God. And I can look at all the little thing, I say little thing, we look at people and say, or parents, and we look at all the stuff. God doesn't really look at that. I mean, he does, but he doesn't. He looks at their heart. And when my mom left this earth, I mean, all along, God worked all along. I have so many stories. She went so peaceful, and it was like the most blessed time ever. I have videos of it on my phone, and I watch here and there. And it's just a blessing to have that on my phone because I see the goodness of God. But she is gone. She fulfilled her call and why she was here. But that didn't stop when she left this earth. It is still continuing. Her daughter, her other daughters. It is continuing through her grandkids. That thread is through and through of following God, having a heart after God. It's a thread that intertwines constantly. And you may say, well, there's been times in my life, where I wasn't the greatest parent, or maybe I didn't have my kids where they needed to be in church. Okay, well, that's all in the past. God will redeem time. He redeems time. And so that which you think you failed at, put it to the side. Because now this is a new day and a new time. And so you start from this moment. And so if you see things in your children, maybe they're adults, you pray. That's the first thing you need to do. Oh, no, God, this isn't going to keep going this way. Because I follow you and I'm faithful to you. You take up your authority. Now, if your children are adults, this is totally not my message. But if you, praise God, this is good though. If you have children that are adults, you still have, your prayers are still powerful. It's the biggest weapon you have. And the word in your mouth declaring what is in their life. So I don't care what they're doing, how far away from God they are. Oh no, I have family members like that. And I've taken it up. I've just kind of left it on the side like, well, you choose your way in life. And so I'm going to follow God. If you don't want to follow God, well, so be it. That's kind of been my attitude. well, better. So got me, Melissa? That's kind of Melissa. Like, well, you know what's right and wrong, so you better do it. I can hear her telling me that. But I've taken it up like, oh, no, that's my family. And I want them with me. I'm not okay for them to not be with me when Jesus comes. And so prayer and the word of God is the two things that will never leave your life. They're always right at your hand, right at your mouth. And so you use them. When you have a bad day with that kid or maybe it's another family member, you walk away and say, well, praise the Lord. The word is working. You defy the odds. And so in this hour, we have to defy the odds because everything around you is saying the opposite of what God's word says. And so if we don't stay hungry for the things of God and for him, then we will just keep stepping back, keep stepping back, keep stepping back. And we stay in the dark. Have you ever gone into a dark room in the middle of the night? Maybe it's stepping on somebody's Lego that they left out. Hint, hint. I don't like going in my son's room, even in the light, because I have to look at the floor to make sure. And I'm like, Carson, get these off the floor. He's like, well, you don't have to say it like that. I'm like, yes, I do. Because my foot is in pain. And his comment is like, well, it's my room. I'm like, well, no, it's not technically. It's my room. His dad always tells him that. No, it's really my room. I'm just leasing it to you for free. I know. You guys see, all the dads are like, that's right. Absolutely. But have you ever gone outside and there's no lights that work? So we're going to do an example here for a moment, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to talk to you for a minute about what it looks like when you're in the dark. Now we've got light in the back, so it's not going to really help me, but you can turn the lights out, all of them, so it's just dark. We've got light in the back, so it's not helping. So when it's dark, you can't see in front of you, or your eyes have to, the lights go out in your house and your eyes have to adjust for a while and then you can kind of make your way through. Well, when it's dark, you can't see what's in front of you. There's a lot of Christians that are in the dark, that are just living life distracted, like, oh, la, 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 it's great. Yeah, I see all the things happening. But Jesus wants you to be in the light. You can go ahead and turn them back on. And God made a way for you to be in the light, to see what's in front of you, what's coming. The Bible says that you can pray and you can know God's voice so much that he will tell you things coming. It's over in Jeremiah. It says, call unto me. I will show you great and mighty things. Things that you don't know. Things that are fenced in. They're hidden. Treasures even that he has for you. Calls that he has. Purposes for your life. Purposes for your children. You can know the call and the purpose for your children. Why? Because that will help you in life. That'll help you guide them. Over in Proverbs, it says that very thing. To train your children in the way of the Lord. The way that he has them to go. And so, in this day and in this hour, it's important that we are in the light. That where our heads are up high, that we're not shrinking down. So the devil's trying to get you to keep your voice quiet. Just be quiet. Sit down over there. You don't know. You don't know. Oh, but we do know. You know a lot. And it's within you. And so you just got to bring that up out. And so a way that that comes out of you, have you ever been around somebody that has been reading the Bible a lot? Has there been seasons in your life where you just wanted to read your Bible all the time? Or maybe you just wanted to pray or just be, maybe listen to worship music and just spend time with God. Have you had times like that in your life? Have you been around people that do a lot of that? Maybe you know somebody that's in the Bible all the time. And so when you're around them, boy, it just comes up out of them. It just comes out. and they encourage you, you're like, I really just want to be around you more. Well, that's how God wants us to live. But if I leave my Bible sitting there like that, it's a nice looking Bible. It's been used a lot. But me looking at it and me knowing that it's a good book and that it is from God and that God's truths are in there and that I can have them in my life, me just looking at it and me knowing that God is good and he's for me, it's not enough for your faith walk. But when I get hungry for God so much that I don't care how much I know and what I don't know, but I'm so hungry that I open it and I begin to read it. And then when I begin to read it, I can't put it down. Then the next day comes and I can't wait to open my Bible again because it's my time with God. This is what God's doing in this hour. And so we said that as a church, we have made a turn. We have made a turn. It may not look what you think the turn should look like yet, but we know that God has said, we have made a turn. And if you'll tune into your spirit, not your head, we're going to take our heads and just put it off to the side because it always gets us off. But in your spirit, if you're in tune with God, you'll pick it up when you come here. It's like, whoo, there's something stirring in my spirit. There's something in the atmosphere. Oh my gosh, God is moving. God's here. God, I feel your presence. You are here. He is. And he is moving. And we've made a turn. So in this turn, we have said, well, you can't stay back here where you've been thinking like this. Maybe you've been disgruntled, like, well, so-and-so, so-and-so. Maybe you've stayed over there. But now you got to come up out of that and turn this way. So when you make a turn, it's a new scenery. It's different. So if you keep looking at the scenery like you did back there, we won't ever see it. But if we'll take up the Word of God and that spirit of faith that he has put in us, we will look out and we'll say, oh, it's different. Oh, it's different around here. It's different in my life. I'm seeing with new eyes. So just you talking yourself up like that makes you change. It's as easy as that. But how many times are we disgruntled, irritated, frustrated? So it's time to turn from that. And so I believe that's really the word of God to us in this church. It is time. God has need of us, and it's time for us to make that turn. And so we have to be diligent to come up out of it. And so, over in 3 John 2, I think it's 3 John 2. Actually, well, I'll say that one. You don't have to put that up on the screen. You can put Jude 3 on the screen. So over in 3 John 2, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. So he wishes above all things that you prosper in every area, every which way, your health, your finances, your family, your whole life. But it's going to be according to how much word we're putting in us. So if you don't have very much word in you, there's nothing that God can draw. The Holy Spirit can't draw off of anything. And so you just stay over here with your hands crossed. Like it's not working. But it's working. You're just not working it. Or a person's just not working it. And so over in Jude, verse 3, it says, Beloved, my whole concern was to write to you in regard to our common salvation. But I found it necessary and was impelled to write to you. So he has this agenda that he's going to do. But he felt compelled, I need to go this direction, and this is what God wants me to tell you. And urgently appeal and exhort you to contend for the faith. Actively, another translation says, actively feeding your faith. So your faith needs this word. It was made. You were made for this Bible. That's why you are here, so that you'll take this word to people, that you'll be a preacher of the gospel, that you'll take Jesus to the ends of the earth. We're a light. Lately, when I've been praying about our church, it's like I see it on top of a hill, and it's got a bright light shining all over the land around it. And I'm like, God, that's what you've called us to do, to be a light to this area. How much has the devil tried to come against to shut this church down? And so to contend, when you contend for something, it's a fight. You have to strive for it. You have to go through opposition and come out of it. You can't be stuck in it and die. But all along, that's what the enemy's trying to do. Bring opposition. Bring opposition. Oh, that didn't work? Well, let me try this. Oh, well, that didn't work? Let me take all your money. Well, that didn't work? Let me take all the wisdom that God's given you. God, he can't take that. But you know what I mean? Like, sometimes people just make bad decisions. And so God's not making you make bad decisions. So the devil comes in and makes you think something way off track. And so you start getting distracted and going over here. Well, who needs church anyway? I can stay home and, you know, watch the pastor on the TV. No, that is not what God has called us to do. There's a whole, all kinds of distracted Christians that have forgotten what they are here for. This thing, Jesus. You can't make Jesus known. You can't fellowship with others sitting at home. But when you come to church and you hear the word is what makes you alive. And it gives you purpose and fulfillment, all the things that people are seeking in things. But they really come through Jesus. Amen? And through his word. And so he said contend for it, he's saying, hey, there's a spirit of faith. There is a force that you have within you. Use it. So in this day and in this hour, we got to take it up and use it. Well, you can't take it up when you're down here, beaten down, not in the word, not feeling real victorious, just coasting through life. That's where the devil wants you to stay. You just stay right there. And if you'll stay there long enough, he don't have anything to do, because you've been there so long that it's just kind of comfortable. Even though it's miserable, you've just been there. And so you just stay there. And so God's word comes to you when you get into it. And it elevates you because it begins enlightening your spirit, your understanding. You begin to see and you begin to know, like over in Ephesians, how it says, Paul said, I'm praying for the church that they would wake up, that their eyes would open to see the hope to which they have been called, to see the inheritance that Jesus has already given them. And so my plea today is that in this turn, that we would turn upward and we would get real serious about the word and following after God. That it would not be just something we do every week, but it would become our life, And so if it's something's really my life, I'm serious about it. Think about something in your life that you're real serious about, that nothing can come against it. Nothing can make you stop doing it because it's serious in your life, or you're serious about it. You're intentional about it. Maybe you're intentional about working out. And no matter what, you're going to work out. Well, let's bring that over into reading our Bible, talking to God. So in this turn, let's be intentional about following God. And I believe that the end of this year, we're in November now, we've got 2 months of God's goodness being poured out. We're not looking at all the bad that's going on. We are aware of it, and we are taking it before God, because I know I can't change anything, but God can, and God has a plan. So just because these bad things are happening doesn't mean that God fell off the throne and his plan went out the window. No, he's all powerful. And so I can go to God and find peace and pray for people, pray for Israel, pray for what's going on. But in my life, I'm turning to him. And so I believe as we do that in this turn, all the things that we thought was important will begin to not be as important. And it'll be about God's business, God's purpose for my life, for my church, for those around me. Amen. You can go ahead and stand and we'll pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you that you are working in and through us. I thank you that we're waking up even more than what we thought we were. We're coming more in tune, more in line with you and your word. And I thank you, Father, that you're always faithful to us, always faithful to see us through, to get us through to the other side. For you love us, and your love is what draws us to you. So I thank you, Father, that you're opening our eyes, that as we leave this place, that we'll begin, it'll still be opening more and more and more. And you're flooding us with light that we can now see what we didn't see yesterday, we see today. And then tomorrow, what we didn't see today, we see tomorrow. And every day, Lord, we begin to wake up more. More light comes, more light comes, more light. Oh. And we find ourselves in that place called there, where we've wanted to be all through the years, in your goodness, in the center of your will. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.